Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Friday, October 4th, 2019. Are you here another day, Butch?
I certainly am. You just won't give me time off at all.
Holy smokes, I tell ya.
Well, you have to admit, I'm faithful.
Yes, you are, and it is all appreciated. James Corbett usually is here. We have our conversation. We pre-record a conversation, or I do, with James Corbett, and there was some issues on Wednesday. We were unable to do it, and he tried to do a rain check for this coming week. He's unable to do it, so it's going to be another 2 weeks without your James Corbett, ladies and gentlemen. So I hope you enjoy us today, and we're going to try to bring you a great program, and I want to thank you for joining us, and let's get started. And gold today had a nice rebound, and of course, so the one report everybody was waiting for was the jobs report. And we initially saw gold prices fall to $1,497 from $1,509, and 30 minutes following the release of the government's monthly jobs report, before rebounding to the $1,505 where we're at right now, and that was by lunchtime. So we're at $1,505, down 80 cents at $1,505, as I said. Silver was down 2 cents at $17.60. Platinum was down 7 at $886. Palladium was up 13 at $16.75. The USDX today was a little bit weaker, 0.09 at 98.82. Crude oil was up 42 at $52.87. The paper markets today, of course, they loved the jobs report. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit, but the job report's here. Oh, yeah. And I told you yesterday, after that pretty sour release on the non-manufacturing, that they released a little bit of info on the jobs report today. That's why we had that 300-point turnaround yesterday, and the Dow was up another 370. 26,571. NASDAQ was up 110 at 79.82. The S&P was up 41 at 29.51. And everyone is just hoping for rate cuts. But, you know, supposedly that's what's spurring on these turnarounds. It's all manipulated. 10-year yield, 1.52%. Let's see. European Asian markets, London was up 110. Hong Kong was down 110. And again, the initial price correction we saw in gold today came despite the non-farm job figures for September, and they rose by just 136,000. This was reported by the Labor Department, and certainly this was below all of the mainstream economists' expectations, which was what, 145,000. So, you know, unemployment, as reported by the Labor Department, hit a fresh 50-year low. Jobless rate dropped to 3.5%. And, of course, this matched a level last seen in December of 1969.
You know, Melody, I don't interrupt you on that, but I do believe that's a lie. And I'm going to cover that in a little bit why I think so. But I don't believe those numbers are real.
Well, neither do I. There's a broader and what I believe a more accurate measure. It includes discouraged workers and the underemployed. Those numbers are still hovering around 7%. So it's far, far from the Fed's full employment that they're bragging about. John Williams from Shadow Stats believes the real equivalent U6 unemployment rate is actually closer to 20%. And we also and that's what I believe. Wages also disappointed, with average hourly earnings a little changed over the month and up just 2.9% for the year. And, of course, this is the lowest increase since July of 2018. So, So I guess that wipes out all concerns of the economy. And, of course, we saw the benefit was the paper markets. And they knew what these numbers were yesterday. So when the stock market got beaten up earlier in the week, they needed some good news to come out. And here we go. You know, I wish they'd stop concentrating on Biden, start concentrating on these fake numbers and start getting these numbers that are real and tell us the truth. But most people out there, it depends on what side you are going to believe that these numbers are true. But, oh, well. And that was pretty much, you know, it was a typical Friday. There wasn't a whole lot more. Of course, everything has been focused, you know, on the impeachments. The trade gap, that widened more than expected in August. The a record level of imports of consumed goods was the reason. And a fresh round of tariffs looms against China and the European Union. The imbalance stood at $54.9 billion at the end of the month, more than the $54.5 billion projected by economists, and, of course, up from the $54 billion in July. So it did widen more than expected. See if there's anything else interesting in that report. The deficit with Germany swelled to $7.1 billion. That's the highest on record, thanks to $12.1 billion of imports, also a record. Additional tariffs about to take effect against the EU. The trade gap also closed across much of the region. Let's see if there's any other interesting news on that. The EU deficit fell from August. It was still up from a year ago, though. And on a goods basis, auto exports grew $14.3 billion and hit their highest level since July 2014. And the petroleum deficit of $300 million was the lowest on record. Well, there's your numbers, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see. I'm not sure if there's any other interesting. I don't think any of that really meant a lot. People aren't really paying much attention to these numbers. No, that's it, Butch. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot going on, Melody, for sure.
There really is a lot going on.
I mean, it's impossible to cover it all, and I know that. And especially in the program, you know, you and I share a lot of information. I think you and I covered a lot of ground during the day, I'll be quite honest with you. I'm impressed with the broadcast. I've been since I've been on with you. But I got a lot to share here. I'd like to share something, though, that two items to start off that I think will give you an idea of the condition of the morals of some people in this world. Now, I'm not making this story up. I wish I were making it up, but I watched with my own eyes, so I know it's true. An AOC supporter, a Cortez supporter, says we must start eating babies to save the planet. Now, I'm not making this up, people. You go to my website, PastorButch.com, look under American Minute or Abortion News, you'll see it on there. But this lady was standing at a meeting in a town hall meeting in New York for Cortez. She got up and started bewailing about all the people that's ruining the planet, and said all the people there were polluting the planet. And then it said, even if we bombed Russia, we still had too many people left on the planet. And you can quit using fossil fuels. But that's not going to. That won't do it. It's not fast enough. She said, literally, we only have months left to survive on this planet. She had a T-shirt on, and it said, "We must eat the children." I'm not making this up, Melody. This is on national news. The lady named Shelby Telcott reported this in Washington, D.C. This really, really is a fact. She said, "We must start eating the children." How do you come back from that? What do you say? How do you... Even Cortez was shocked. You got comments on
well,
that?
Well, you know, I heard for many, many years that in China... Yes. Fetuses was a delicacy.
I've heard that.
Maybe
I never
served
could prove
maybe
that.
Maybe served at the delicatessen, but it was a delicacy.
I've always heard that, but never could really prove that. But this is no doubt. This is out in the open. Of course, we know that they put aborted baby tissue in about all vaccinations now. which does change your DNA, by the way, folks, which is what happened before the flood. DNA was changed, and they all were damned. But this lady, a car lady, I'm being nice, was up there saying we got eight children. And this is another story. This is in Britain. I realize that, but believe me, folks, just coming here. Britain court in transgender case rules that the Bible belief is incompatible with human dignity. In other words, if you stand against the LGBTQ community or the transgender community, whatever, it's wrong. You can't do that. That the Bible is incompatible with human dignity and not in conflict with the fundamental rights of others. So you can't use the Bible anywhere, actually, but in Britain now, to say that I can't support homosexuality, lesbianism, sexual perversion. I can't support it because the Bible is now considered incompatible with human dignity. Melody, those two stories alone absolutely ought to tell us why this world's in a mess. We have fiat currency, and we know that's why the currency's going. But immoral people don't care. As long as they have TV on and a beer in their hand, most of them don't care. That's America and Britain both now. We know the answers, but they're not going to accept them because they're too much in it for themselves. The lady wants to save the planet by eating children. The judges in the British court say the Bible is incompatible and you can't have it in society. Really, it's incompatible with society. Is that a pretty clear indication where this world's heading?
You would think.
I mean, I don't know what else to say about that. I mean, I was just stunned. I had a guy that helped me do some work today at a rental property I have. He's helping me clean the place up. And I said, you got to see this, Clem. Come look at this. I showed him that video of the woman saying that. And he stood there with his mouth gapped open. He said, I can't believe that. But anyway, it happened. Now back to the impeachment fiasco. 45% of all Americans, according to this poll, support impeaching Trump, or 38 are against it, poll says. In a new sign of how support is growing for the impeachment effort launched last week, a poll out Thursday has found that 45% of Americans believe the House of Representatives should vote to impeach President Donald Trump. Some 38% of the respondents to the USA Today poll said the House should not vote to impeach him, and 17% said they didn't know. So it's evenly divided, as we'll say, whether impeach or not. And you know, of course, who Steve Bannon is, right?
Yes, I do.
He's supposed to be a real hero for the people, was he not? I mean, he was supposed to be one of the Trump's advisors, and he was a chief advisor. And he's going to be a real hero for the people. A lot of people were excited, including Alex Jones, a lot of them, which I was kind of excited, too. That Bannon's going to be out there, and he's going to be speaking up for the truth behind that's not being exposed. Well, Bannon says, Stephen Miller said, blamed impeachment on deep state. Bannon says that's for nutcases. Can you believe that? I mean, this is from Bannon now, mind you. Said Bannon states his opinion in a new book, Deep State, Trump, FBI, and the Rule of Law by James B. Stewart, which we published on October 8th. The deep state conspiracy theory is for nutcases. Now, this is what Bannon said. The deep state conspiracy theory is for nutcases. Bannon is quoted saying, because America isn't Turkey or Egypt. No, we're probably worse in a lot of ways. But this is coming from Bannon, Stephen Bannon, who was, I really believe from what I knew about him before all this happened, that he was pretty wise on what's happened with the things like 9/11 and all the other things happening in the cover-ups. But I'm shocked to see this. You got any comments on that?
You know, I mean, I think we talked about it earlier in the week, how sometimes these words and, you know, these, I don't know, like the deep state gets used so often, it sort of loses its original meaning. And, you know, just like we liberals, everybody's, you know, it just, loses the impact. And I think the deep state is, you know, pretty much has become the same way. We throw the deep state around without ever supporting who, what, when, and where a lot of the times. Not always, but a lot of the times. And I think it sort of loses the meaning of what's really going on. And that's just my view, but So I'm not supporting him. I never liked Steve Bannon to begin with. Never did. He wrote some powerful articles that I liked. There's a lot of things, kind of almost like, you know, well, I'm not going to say who, but, you know, I liked some of his thoughts. I liked some of his insights, but I just never really believed that he believed, you know, so.
Really?
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. But maybe showing his true colors now then.
I don't know.
That's possible. But now, after all this stuff about the Ukraine, Ukraine reviews probe into corrupt Biden-linked gas company. They're doing this on their own. Trump didn't make them do this, obviously. After a week of nonstop bombshell leaks about the Democrats' impeachment probe into President Trump, which supposedly is trying to determine whether Trump pressured the newly elected Ukrainian president to push for investigations into Joe and Hunter Biden and their ties to a domestic gas company, the media is now being forced to confront another uncomfortable reality. The Ukrainian prosecutors appear to be finally moving ahead with a review of an investigation of the Biden-linked gas company, even after the alleged quid pro quo had been taken off the table. But 12 hours after President Trump recommended Ukraine and China start looking into the Bidens, WSJ reports that Ukraine General Prosecutor's Office is reviewing investigations into a gas company that has once paid Hunter Biden $50,000 a month to sit on this board. The Democrats have continued to insist that it's Trump, not Biden, who's truly guilty of corruption. The vice president doesn't sound too comfortable with all this new scrutiny. During an appearance in Nevada last night, Biden insisted that Trump won't destroy me or my family and accused the president of using dirty tricks. This could backfire on the Democrats. I mean, it's very possible, is it not?
Very much so. But the thing of it is, I don't understand why we would I don't understand the chain of investigations. If these guys are dirty, why aren't we checking into it? Is it because it's a foreign corporation?
I guess in some ways it can still kind of respect another nation's sovereignty a little bit. I would think that'd be it. I mean, it's kind of an internal matter in Ukraine. And Hunter Biden was paid $50,000 a month to do something he knew nothing about. Now, that was a stated fact. And that's, you know, this was what happened back in Joe Biden said, if you don't take the prosecutor off his case, we're not going to give you $1.5 money we promised you. Biden's the one that did this quid quo pro type thing, not Trump. But this could come back and bite him. If this gets out in the main news, that this really happened and Ukraine is really investigating this because they know what happened, this could come back and bite them. And I'm not a trumpeter, but I'm going to tell you, I hope it does come back and bite them hard. Because I think this is all made up completely, just like Mueller was.
What about China? I mean, yeah, China, if we're asking countries to investigate our people, why aren't we doing it, is my point. Why aren't we doing the investigation if it's so?
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter and blog. And, of course, the radio programs are archived there. You can listen live at 4 o'clock. And if you miss it, you can listen to the archives that are there. Daily and for long term. So, and 588, 21 ounce American silver eagles, a 1/10 ounce American gold eagle, includes your shipping costs, or you can have the $30 face value of 90% silver, a 1/10 ounce American gold eagle, includes shipping, $588. Either or, it's a great special. Prices are the same, even though when I started this special earlier in the week, prices were lower. So it's not even, it was a good deal, and it's an even better deal right now. So give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. Butch?
Yes, ma'am. I'm right
What's
here. Listen, that deal, you know, that is a terrific deal. And of course, you know, I like silver eagles. You know that. That's one of my favorite coins.
Mm-hmm.
I like those. I like them for gifts to the grandkids. I think they're beautiful. There's something about a silver dollar, and especially a silver eagle, because it's just so classic. But when you take it out of your pocket, it feels like money, it looks like money, and it really is money. Mm-hmm. And it's worth about $20. Am I right?
You're absolutely correct.
Wow, that's amazing. That's an excellent deal. Pressure mounts on GM and United Auto Workers to make a deal as strike drags in the 19th day. I mean, we're going into 3 weeks almost. The UAW strike against GM is now in its 19th day, and pressure is mounting from both sides to make a deal. No doubt, I'm convinced that the workers are not making as much sitting at home drawing unemployment or strike pay as they were working on the plant. No doubt about it. And if they're like most people, they live from paycheck to paycheck. Whether they make $1,000 a week or $500 a week, most people spend up to what they make, and they count on being there. Shares of GM have plunged by double digits since the strike began, and a weakening auto sector. Vehicle production has ceased at nearly all North American plants for the company. So it's filtering down now to not just the auto workers themselves in the plant. It's going down into the parts makers. It's going down into Mexico, where they also work on the cars. This is affecting, I guess you could almost say, a worldwide market, couldn't you?
Absolutely. It will affect, again, we always forget what the multiplier effect is. So it does branch out. And so it will eventually catch up with everything, suppliers and various parts of the world and so forth. Product will become harder to get and various things. You're going to see production slow up. And it's... I'm surprised that it's going on this long.
I really am. Honestly, I am too. I wonder what's going to do. You reckon that's? I mean, obviously, I don't think the dealers are running out of cars. At least the ones around here are still full. I don't think there's really a car shortage. I don't believe there's something maybe a new one to start with. But
we're also heading into the 2020 year.
Yes.
And so it's It's again, it's production as far as slowing up the parts and so forth. And we talked about that the other day.
2020, Melanie. When you were in high school, did you think about the year 2020? Are you still with me?
Yeah, I am. No, we talked about the year 2000.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, well, we didn't talk about that. We talked about 1976, the big bicentennial.
Yeah?
Yeah. Everybody's looking at the big bicentennial. We got through that, and everybody looked, well, 2000 is going to be a drastic change. Now we're talking about 2020. My goodness, I'm getting old. But anyway, I always wondered how new car dealers, because I know new car dealers don't make but a few hundred dollars on a new car. Really, that's what they make. Maybe $1,000, I'd say. But they make more on used cars than they do new cars. And I always wondered why that was, and now I know. Car dealers make more profit on loans than on selling cars. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
I didn't know that. Why don't you tell me that? I can answer the question I've been thinking on for years.
You didn't ask.
Well, I should be able to read my mind. Most women read my mind. But anyway, American middle class can't afford his cars. And that's the truth. How does anyone making $50,000, $60,000 a year or less, or maybe a little more, go in and walk out with a $100,000 pickup? They go to the high, folks, but $60,000 at least. A surge in the 7-year auto loan rate provides all the evidence you need. Walk into an auto dealership these days, you might walk out with a 7-year car loan. That's absurd, people. That means monthly payments that will last well past when the brake pads give out, and potentially beyond when the car gets traded in for a new one. And I will tell you now, when you trade in for another car, we're still on the old one, you lose ground every time. About a third of auto loans for new vehicles taken in the first half of 2019 had terms of longer than 6 years, according to the credit reporting firm Experian PLC. A decade ago, that number was less than 10%. In 10 years, it changed that fast. Incomes have risen at a sluggish pace in the past decade. The car prices have grown rapidly. A lending machine has revved up in response, making it possible for more Americans to produce a vehicle by spreading the debt over longer periods. Wall Street investors snap up these loans, which are bundled into bonds. Now listen to this. Wall Street investors snap up the loans, which are bundled into bonds. Dealers make more money on the loans their customers take than on the cars they sell. Isn't that amazing? I did not know that, Melody Cedarstrom. I mean, they bundle them up and sell them.
Sound familiar?
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Very familiar. Mm-hmm. And Wall Street's loving it too, apparently. I did not know that. I often wondered how they get by only making $1,000 a car and finance them 7 years. I thought when they made $1,000, they were done. Then how did they afford, to keep up? Well, I know that they're paid to do the warranty from the dealership, from the Ford, for Chevrolet, whatever it is. They get paid the labor done on that or whatever for warranties. But I thought $1,000 is not a lot of money. They'd have to sell a lot of cars to make money here and be able to pay all their overhead. Now I understand how to do it. I'm glad I read that article. Aren't you?
Absolutely.
And I wonder if you'd be out there in the audience wondering the same thing. I mean, when you go look in a dealership, a nice big dealership, they got millions of dollars in inventory. Of course, I know that they just pay tax on the time it's in there, whatever, or show, whatever you call that, cover charge. But they have employees to pay. They have a huge building to maintain, overhead in the building. And I thought, how can they do that on $1,000 a car? They'd have to sell, I would think, probably 200 cars a month, at least 200,000 a month to cover that stuff. I didn't know this. How about that? Anyway, September Class 8 heavy-duty truck orders collapsed another 71%. Gee, this is not looking good for the company, for the trucking industry, and it's certainly not good for the production industry. Whenever truckers aren't hauling, that means the products are not being hauled. Something's backing up. Preliminary Class 8 order data for September is starting to trickle in, and like the data preceding it is so far this year, it's ugly. Class 8 orders were crushed 71% in September, 71%, folks, reaching 12,600 units, according to Buyer and Morgan Stanley. This follows a 79% plunge in August. Melanie, that is a huge, huge plunge. I mean, That's 150% plunge in 2 months. This makes September the 11th consecutive month of year-to-year order declines and the ninth consecutive month of orders below 20,000. Class 8 orders are often seen as a pulse on the U.S. economy, no doubt. Morgan Stanley analyst Courtney Yakovinas wrote in a note that she expects year-to-year order declines to continue until the year's end. But Baird analyst David Leaker said he was gaining increased confidence that the bottom is declines is likely near. But that's a story we have heard from ACT research analysts all year, and others just continue to collapse. Melly, that's a huge cut in production, is it not? In
yes,
2 months.
Is. Mm-hmm.
That's. There, I would think. I mean, gee, I don't know how they again. There has to be some layoffs coming, as you already are. Some regular truckers going up in some sales. But as you said, Daimler Chrysler, I think, laid off some workers, right?
They did.
So how long can this go on with people? And that's why I'm asking to get back to this in more detail too. But how can the job report be so great when people are losing their jobs? Are they all going to work at fast food?
I mean, pretty much.
How they counting it? And how does a person who makes even $50,000 a year in our state, by the way, that's pretty good in West Virginia, how they drop down to making $20,000 a year and survive? What do they have to give up? I mean, those are things to ask yourself. It doesn't make any sense how they say the economy's booming whenever this is going like this. I just don't get it. And maybe you have answers I don't see, Mel, because I know that you've studied this a lot longer than I have. But how long can they keep this fiasco going and trying to convince the people that jobs are, there's less, the unemployment rate is lower than it had been in 50 years? I do not believe that.
You know, it's interesting. I saw an interview this morning. They were, I don't know, this manufacturing plant or whatever they produced was, I think it was in Minnesota. And they're showing these robots, this technology that were on the assembly line. And they were trying to talk down the theory that human workers are going to be replaced by robots and technology. They were saying that, people, the humans are going to be working side by side with these robots, like they call them robots, you know. And I'm sorry, I guess I'm just, maybe I'm not 39, maybe I'm 40, I don't know, but I just, not everyone is designed out there to where they can program computers. Oh, they could be trained, and no, they can't. Some can. I perhaps if you're going to school right out of high school, but can you really retrain someone in their 40s and 50s to go in there and start doing computer programming? Unless it's a lot easier than what I think it is. And if it's that easy, then everybody that we pay to do our computers are getting overpaid. If it's that easy, we ought to learn how to do it. So it was interesting how they were trying to take the to twist it to show that robots are going to be good for the workplace and that there isn't going to be an issue. But I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, this has been part of the problem and why we've seen the manufacturing leave our country, not only for low wages, but a lot of these positions have been, humans were replaced by technology, by robots. It's plain and simple.
We're going to cover an article on that in just a minute, too, that's amazing. I'll explain more about that in a minute. But you're right. Why do they need the people? If you look at an auto manufacturing plant, you'll see arms with welding arms, spot welding the cars together. People aren't doing it. They got a dozen or more of those things spot welding cars. So, I don't know. People aren't helping them. Maybe somebody has to fix them once in a while.
So the point is for us to be at full employment. You know, you can look at all these little areas and say, well, how can that be? The best employment since 1969?
I don't believe it. I do not believe it.
I mean, I don't either. I believe the 20%.
I do. Oh, I
or
do
somewhere
too.
Or somewhere between 7 and 20. But
I'd say 20. I'm being a pessimist. I know that, but I'd say easy 20. But now here's another story that I didn't think I'd see coming out. Shale jobs are drying up in the Permian. Barry Basin. Marks can hear the Permian Basin slowing down. It's right there on Country Music Station 96.1 FM in Odessa, Texas, where commercials for shale patch jobs used to fill the airways. Those kinds of radio ads have fallen by two-thirds. And Marks, the general manager of ICA Broadcasting LLC, which runs five stations in the area. A lot of those people working in the Permian Basin do not reside here, as Mark said, so they're heading home every 2 weeks, and they may just be staying home. Melody, I would have thought energy would have still been doing well in this country. I mean, for energy independence for the nation and how much we need the oil, but I'm going to find out that a lot of this shale oil is not staying here. It's going overseas. Am I right on that?
You're correct.
So, it's jobs. Thank God for the jobs. I'm not saying that's not good. Thank God for the jobs these men have doing this. But wouldn't it make more sense to keep the oil here and profit this nation?
Well, it all goes back to the U.S. dollar, Butch.
That's true.
That's, they need to ship it out. We've seen countries pull away from selling their oils and purchasing the oils in U.S. dollars and so forth.
Too, yes.
We need to keep circulating that U.S. dollar over there. So, you know, it kind of makes sense why we're exporting more than worrying about, you know, what's happening here. You know, and again, I don't know how this ties in, but you still have the Saudis who own the largest oil refinery in the country. You know, this isn't making America great again. Maybe it's the thing that needs to be done. Maybe this is making America great by having the Saudis. Maybe we needed the Saudis to own the largest refinery in this country. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But it doesn't seem that way. Or at least...
It makes sense to me.
You know, so...
It makes sense.
But it's, you know, as long as we're the reserve currency, we have a fiat currency, we need a lot of those other countries in order to continue to buy their oils in the dollar. So
we're getting ready to
dependent
break
on
just,
them.
We are. We're getting ready to break here in a few minutes. I want to tell you what Russia is no longer buying the oil in the dollar. Russia's
That's
greatest,
what I mean.
Large oil
They're
company.
They're pulling away.
They're pulling away. Discuss it after the break. I'm going to break in just a few seconds. I can see the clock coming ticking down. And there's the music right there.
And I heard it, so we have the magic producer man behind the scenes. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems today.
today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. It is Friday, October 4th, and this week I'm looking forward to the weekend. It has been a long week, a hectic week, a volatile week, and so I'm looking for a little bit calmer Saturday and Sunday. One thing, there's a report out today. The New York Fed is going to extend operations to pump money into the markets through November 4th. Remember, they were supposed to do it to October 10th. They announced today, the New York Federal Reserve Bank announced today, it's going to continue to inject billions into the U.S. financial plumbing on a daily basis through November 4th. That's basically extending the operations by 3 weeks. Remember, it began in mid-September, and it is aimed at preventing a spike in short-term interest rates. And so I find that very interesting. Friday's announcement, the New York Fed said it's going to continue to offer up to $75 billion a day in repo agreements, exchanging secure assets for cash for very short periods, as well as 14-day repo operations twice a week at the least $35 billion each. So economists say an array of conditions converge to dry up liquidity in the banking system. And, of course, they're still saying it involves the quarterly corporate tax payments, a surge in government debt sold to investors, which drained cash out of the banks. So they're pumping money into the banks. And, hey, we have the lowest unemployment rate since 1969, but they're pumping money into the banks. It is all good, right?
It is all good. Watch stock market. It's up again. Yeah, it's wonderful. I'm not going to hit this arc too loud or too hard because you already did it, but Russia's largest oil company ditches dollar in new oil deals. They're going to the EU. They're going to the euro. Russia's largest oil company, Rosneft, has set the euro as a default currency of all new exports of crude oil and refined products as the state-controlled giant looks to switch as many sales possible from the U.S. dollars to euros in order to avoid further U.S. sanctions against it. Now, folks, they said they're going to switch as many sales as possible away from the U.S. dollar. That shows the condition of the U.S. dollar. And of course, as it says, they're fighting sanctions also. So the dollar is losing its favoritism, I guess. And Mel, is that a good way to put it? It's no longer the currency of high esteem as it used to be, is it?
Well, no. I mean, you can't deny China's strength. Pat Buchanan had a good article about China, and if I can remember, I'm going to put it. I'm going to remember it. I'm going to put it into the Monday's newsletter. And he talks about China and how they've changed and. And it's all about capitalism and the struggles that they might have. But they are a powerhouse. You cannot deny that fact anymore.
No, you can't. You cannot. No.
And they can, even during the Great Recession, they came out and said, well, you know, it's probably not a good thing to have a one world reserve currency. And so that's, you know, that's... they're not going to destroy it because then that destroys their own wealth to some degree. So, but they can use it as a bargaining chip. They can use that to deflate the dollar. They can use it and change things at their whim because the whole world is manipulated by currencies.
That's true. Very true.
Trillions of dollars are traded daily, I believe. Trillions. I mean, and they can do this at the whim of a couple of computer strokes. So
Yep. And back to the jobs. Kroger is reportedly laying off hundreds of workers as pressure from online retailers increase. Again, online retail, folks, is cutting back on brick-and-mortar stores. Grocer Kroger is set to lay off hundreds of employees, as an unnamed source told CNBC on Wednesday. Many of these employees are said to be middle managers. As part of the ongoing talent management, many store operating divisions are evaluating middle management roles and team structures with an eye toward keeping resources close to the customer, she told CNBC the speaker. So, again, retail sales, they're blaming on retailer online sales, laying off hundreds of employees. Kroger's. And Kroger's been around a long, long, long time. But check this one out. This, again, where are these people going to work getting laid off? Unemployment's so low, where are they going? Hewlett-Packard to cut as much as 16% of workforce amid print unit woes. Hewlett-Packard will slice as much as 16% of its workforce as part of a broad restructuring meant to cut costs and boost sales growth amid the company's first change in top leadership in 4 years. The personal computer giant said it will cut 7,000 to 9,000 positions through firings and voluntary early retirement. Well, that's 16% of the workforce. They must have a lot of employees. To be, 16% is 9,000. They have a lot of employees, don't they?
They do.
The job reductions will help save.
60% less.
There you go. The job reductions will help save about $1 billion by the end of fiscal 2022, the Palo Alto, California-based company said Thursday in a statement. HP has had 55,000 employees as of a year ago, the last time it disclosed the figure. 55,000 employees. Well, of course, 9,000 or so is going to be there soon. And that doesn't sound like a lot out of 55,000, but if it's your job, it's a lot. We always have the idea, well, that doesn't affect me. It isn't my job. Well, when it gets to your turn, it's going to make you feel kind of bad because maybe you'll be one of the last ones left and it's your turn coming up. But I would say that Hewlett-Packard pays a fairly good wage. And these 9,000 people, which means 9,000 families, basically, are going to be out of work. And it's going to affect somebody that they're paying the house payments to, the car payments to, the way they buy their groceries. That's going to affect a lot of people, folks. With the hundreds of Krogers and 9,000 there and on it goes, is the unemployment rate really low? It's been 50 years. Are the figures fudged? And what Melly's talking about, this is something, my sister-in-law is the head of several banks here in West Virginia. She told me there's a time coming, not too long in the future, you're going to walk into a bank, you'll be lucky to see a couple people there. You'll be done robots, computers. Dramatic change ahead. Robots are coming for 200,000 U.S. banking jobs. A new report by Wells Fargo & Company warns that nearly 200,000 U.S. banking jobs are at risk of being displaced by robots. As we've explained in the past, accelerating technological advances in automation, artificial intelligence, and machine learning have the potential to reshape the world in the 2020s through 2030. The collision of these forces could trigger economic disruption far greater than what was seen in the early 20th century. Across the financial industry, a new wave of investment, somewhere in the tune of $150 billion per year, is being spent on technology that will lead to lower costs, with employee compensation accounting for half of all bank expenses, said Mike Mayo, a senior analyst at the Wells Fargo Securities LLC. So they said that the employee's cost is about half of bank's expenses. So what are they going to do? They're going to bring in 200,000 robots. Does that mean 200,000 less jobs? This just only means 100,000 less jobs. They still keep the 100,000 on working on something else. Mary, that's a lot of jobs, isn't it?
It certainly is. And again, use that multiplier effect.
Exactly. But the unemployment rate, Melody, is as low as it's been in 50 years. I don't believe it. I'm sorry. I don't believe it. You know, folks, maybe I'm a skeptic, and I've learned by being one that sometimes it's the right way to be. Because if I hadn't been a skeptic on the U.S. dollar, I wouldn't listen to Bob Chapman and others and said, Pastor Butch, you need to buy some gold and silver. I wanted to listen. And I've been up a creek right now. I'm 71 years old and be working full time if I hadn't listened. Now, praise God, I listened to wise counsel, the Bible says we should, and it paid off for me in spades, Melody. I am so thankful that folks like you are out there that are taking your time every day trying to get people to understand why they need to reinforce their financial future. And they're doing, if they're doing it with paper, I don't care if it's paper dollars or 401ks or computer glitches, that is all non-viable because it's worth nothing. A little glitch in the economy, a dollar drops is dropping every day, and the 401ks, something, you know, if you depend on that, folks, you depend on something that's worth nothing at all, and it could happen. It could happen overnight, and it will happen eventually. It will happen. Melody, I don't mean to scare people, but if you care for somebody, you're going to tell them the truth, aren't you?
You are. And it's, you know, I mean, things are a lot different today than they were 10 years ago, or as we were going through leading up to the Great Recession. And President Trump has changed that. And I'm not saying that as a negative. But I think a lot of the information that we report on today really was the same items that we were touching on in, you know, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, you know, when it started to come undone. A lot of people didn't believe us. A lot of people didn't.
They didn't.
You know, they just kind of went the same way. The government reports then were just as fudged as what they are today. They're not any different. You saw what the stock market did yesterday. You can't tell me they didn't release those numbers that were the non-payroll numbers this morning. They didn't let them out a little early yesterday to get a pump to the markets. You can't tell me something wasn't leaked the day before the report. If you believe that didn't happen, then, you know, I got a bridge in Florida.
Well, you know, I know someone personally. I did warn him 2 years. Bob Chapman told me in 2005, I thought in that area, that's going to be a huge hit in the economy and the building industry. He said it's going to be a huge hit on how building industry. And this gentleman I know worked in building, and he did well. He had a new home. He bought a Hummer. He and his wife, you know, they were doing very well. I said his name is Keith. I said, Keith, it's going to come to an end. It's going to come to an end really hard. He lost his home. He lost his Hummer. He lost his wife. True stories. I'm not making it up. So there you go. China ready to buy as much soybeans, wheat, and Russia can produce amid U.S. trade war. Putin said this. There were a number of interesting comments made by President Putin today regarding Russia's increasingly cozy relations with its longtime rival China and the Valdi Discussion Club in Sochi on Thursday. We are now helping our Chinese partners to create it. Now listen, folks. They're helping their Chinese partners create a missile warning system, a missile attack warning system, while slamming the U.S. exit from the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty as harming global stability. He added, this is a very serious thing that will dramatically increase China's defense capability because only the U.S. and Russia have such a system now. So he's going to help them build their own system, and he said China's going to buy everything they can from us in way of soybeans and wheat because the U.S. put sanctions on them. What do you think about that?
Well, what did you expect China to do? You know?
And China and Russia have been adversaries for a long time, haven't they?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they're buddy-buddy. You know, at least they're coming across the paper that way. And supposedly helping each other. I don't know if that's, you know, maybe they decided that the United States is just the one that needs taken out now. I don't know. But that could be serious. And one last article I want to cover real quickly, too. Legacy system held DHS biometrics programs back, not anymore. The cloud-based heart system, which will house data on hundreds of millions of people, promised to significantly expand the department's use of facial recognition and other biometric software, as well as its partnerships with external agencies. The Homeland Security Department is retiring the decades-old system officials used to analyze biometric data. Its replacement is poised to both refine and significantly expand the agency's application of the controversial technology. The new cloud-based platform called the Homeland Advanced Recognition Technology System, or HART, is expected to bring more processing power, new analytics capabilities, and increased accuracy to the Department of Biometric Operation. It will also allow the agency to look beyond the three types of biometric data used already, face, iris, and fingerprint, to identify people through a variety of other characteristics, like palm prints, scars, tattoos, physical markings, and even their voices. And by freeing the agency from the limitation of its legacy start or system, HART could also let officials grow the network of external partners with whom they will share biometric data and analytic capabilities, according to Patrick Nemeth, Director of Identity Operations within Homeland Security Office at Biometric and Identity Management. So what you're saying is you're going to be tracked and traced more than you ever have been. It's going to be in the cloud. It's going to be totally secure, though, Mel. Nobody's going to take it out of the cloud. You can trust that, right?
You can trust that, yeah.
I mean, gee, people, if you don't see the writing on the wall, I don't want to tell you. I don't want to tell you. If you don't have some way of keeping something private, especially your finances, if they know everything you buy and sell and even look at, and you can't do anything in private, you can't barter, you can't use something, there's some way to trade something, you may have a hard time surviving this beast system. And that's what it is. It is the beast system that's spoken of in the Bible. If you're not able to take care of yourself, you're going to lose it all. And maybe your life, and maybe your family's lives also. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm telling the truth, and you know I'm telling you the truth. So I don't want to say, Melody, about that issue. It's out you there. Know, it's growing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, last night we went out to the movies, and it was a girls' night out. And there was seven of us, and two of them had been hacked in the past 2 weeks. Their bank accounts, their credit cards,
wow.
They had to close everything out. So, yeah, it is. And we're going to be closing out this program right now. So please visit us on Monday. We'll be back then. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. That's too bad.